the final lines of the poem. God comes to our window with bright light and dark wings. And we sometimes fail to notice. We're tired, and we won't go to the window. And this is what the season of Advent provides us. It's a time to go inward. It's a time of deep reflection. It's a time of expectation because we're expecting the birth of hope and promise. It's a time of preparation for us to look inward, an opportunity to see where we go wrong, look at our shortcomings, and it's a time of anticipation. A time of anticipation to live between that tension, between the light and the dark. Light is an ancient archetype. The symbol of light is deeply embedded within our human consciousness. And so is baptism as a symbol of new beginnings, becoming refreshed, washed, cleansed, with the hope of being part of a community, with the hope of peace to transform. With the hope to be accepted as we are. With the hope to be loved fully, wholly, and openly. The biblical stories are meant to be appreciated and understood within the context of what was going on in the world during the first century. And it was a time of immense darkness. And our ancestors knew darkness like we do not. There really was no light. And light, we have grown up in a world that is illuminated. It's almost like we yearn for more darkness. It's hard to get away from light. London was the first city to be illuminated, and that was in the late 1600s. And ordinary people did not even have candles. They couldn't afford candles until the late 1800s. But we're talking about the light of promise and hope, the light of birth, the light of something new happening within us, a gentle stirring that awakens us to participate and move and be creative in our courage and appreciation for peace. When I was in seminary, I was asked to participate in one of the services at the school. And my job assignment was to do the piece on eschatology, which is the piece on hope. And I wrote this fabulous thing. It was fabulous. And it was very dour because I talked about the war and I talked about this and that, and we rehearsed the piece the night before, and the professor came up to me and said, "Lana, That's not hopeful. And I was so embarrassed, I cried all the way home across the bridge because what was I going to do? I needed to write about hope. I needed to do something. I went home. I was a wreck. I got on the internet. I Googled hope. Somebody give me a story. And you know, I came up with something. It was rather weak. But I realized it's so easy to be cynical. And it's so powerful to feel hopeless. Because what can we do? In many ways, the world doesn't change. There's always war, always. There has been war forever. Last week, Rachel informed everyone that Jesus was not born on December 25th. And who decided that Jesus was born on December 25th was Pope Julius. And he declared that this was the day Jesus was born, on the 25th, because it was the day where they celebrated the birthday of the unconquered Son. And they made Jesus' birth, this holiday in Christianity, become associated with the winter solstice. And now I'm going to add a second little glitch to your fantasy about Jesus' birth. The stories that we read in Matthew and in Luke are very different. There's two birth stories. Luke is a lot more flashier, and that's the one that we really embrace. They go from Nazareth to Bethlehem to Nazareth. In Matthew, they go from Bethlehem to Egypt, back to Nazareth. There's magi, kings. Everything is very different in the birth stories. But there's a third birth story, and that's found in Revelation, chapter 12. And in this birth story, there is a woman who is wearing 12 crowns upon her head, and she's about to give birth to a baby, but she's surrounded by a dragon that has 7 heads and 10 horns, who's waiting to devour the child. Now, this story has deep mythological overtones. It really comes from Greek mythology, and it's a story about Apollo. In our theology, I shouldn't say our theology, I always don't like that, but in Swedenborgian theology, we know that it's about the second coming has already happened. That birth is the birth of God within us at all times. But I was thinking what a great Christmas pageant that would be. Because we could really turn things around. And the truth is about the Bible, and one thing that I hold very dear to my heart, is that it is a story that is at all times personal, and it is a story that is all times political. It doesn't matter what is factual and whether it's not factual or factual. So much bickering about what is real or unreal. But it is a story where the context of the story and the meaning of all stories change for us each year, each day. It would be like hearing the story or some scripture or a sermon by Martin Luther King and not knowing anything about the civil rights movement. The context is always important in the context of what we hear, and what each story means is personal to each one of us. God is always working through us. And God is always mindful of our inmost needs. Advent is a time when we reflect and we begin to prepare the ground for the coming year. That's why during this time we hear scripture readings that talk about baptism. Because baptism is a time of reparation. It's a time for us to prepare. It's a time for us to look inward and truly look at who we are, what we are serving, what our deepest desire is, our deepest spiritual thought, our deepest spiritual action. John's mission was to prepare the way for God. His mission was to announce that there was hope, there was peace, that someone was coming greater than he, who could make things different, who had a message of love, who carried a message of peace. Baptism is about repentance, but it's not about repenting our sins. I'm not sure that any of us sin. But repentance means that the translation of the word in Greek means to repent, means to go beyond the mind that you have, to go beyond your thoughts, to go beyond what you think you know. And that's the call of Advent, that we enter into a new mindset, a new way of being, God consciousness, oneness with God, that we become the light, that we become the light of the world, that we become the light that is the promise of peace and the promise of hope. The homeless dinners this year were really wonderful. Everyone prepared vegetables, pot roast, tri-tip, meatloaf, chili, bread, homemade bread, desserts, salad, knitted hats. And each morsel of that food was like ingesting locusts and honey. What would it be like to experience peace on earth? God had peace of mind for us, and God wanted us to be peaceful. And God spoke of heavenly peace. But what would it be like to truly have peace on earth. One of the goals of spiritual practice and meditation is to create waves of peace, to bring those inner waves of peace in your thoughts into harmony with God, to change the world. Like the story about the wings of a butterfly and how the air currents change. If we have peace within, there will be peace without. And sometimes I feel, and this is probably my cynicism, that peace within has become a commodity. Everyone is seeking for inner personal peace. And how do we attain that? We can't buy it. And we can't have the best guru. And we can't learn the best way to meditate. It's important to have a teacher, and it's important to read. But it's really not about us and our individual enlightenment. It's about our awakening, and it's about lighting our inner heart and peace and love, our inner light. But it's really about reaching out, and it's really about finding a way and a path and a way to move along this journey in life. It's what we bring out of our darkness to lighten the heart of another. God asks us to move beyond the personal. God asks us to illuminate and bring something from those dark recesses that we enter. To give love and hope and promise to someone else in need. That's the true sense of uses. How we use our love, how we use our knowledge, how we use the peace that we acquire. So at Advent, we're called to bring something back, to bring something forward. We are called to prepare our way. And like John the Baptist, we're called to make an offering and bring something to place upon the altar. We are called to embrace the light. We're called to cultivate and nurture the promise of peace. And we're called to transform that peace in a journey together, hand in hand, where locusts and honey turn into bread and wine, where locusts and honey and bread and wine and peace within and without reach to all of humanity and reaches inward to our inmost heart, so that that promise of peace will become us in the most powerful of ways. Amen.